And indeed a warm welcome to you all this morning. Let's open in prayer, shall we? Let's just take a moment of quiet and turn our thoughts to God Almighty. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the peace that you bring. And as we gather this morning, we can enjoy that peace together, regardless of our circumstances, because your peace passes understanding. It comes not because of how things are, but because of how you are, who you are, the way you take care of us, Lord. So thank you for that. We do ask that you would speak to us through this service this morning. We want to give you our worship today. We want to bless you with praise that comes from our hearts. So, Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us afresh this morning. Renew us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, it is indeed a fantastic privilege to be able to come to the Father, but we can only do so through Jesus the Son, can't we? Bless his name. Ian's going to bring us our first reading now, which you can find in Hebrews chapter 1, which is on page 1201. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1201.
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. God's final word, his Son. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. The scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, there will be chains. But you will remain the same, and your years will never end." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Right, fantastic words contained in that reading, isn't it? The Son is the radiance of God's glory. That's a great thing to focus on, isn't it? We're going to have our second reading now. Now, this is actually two psalms together. So if you'd like to firstly turn to Psalm 98 and put your finger in there. Psalm 98. And when you've got that, just turn back a few pages to Psalm 66. And that's where we're going to start. And Sam is going to negotiate that for us.
Okay, so starting with Psalm 66. "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Amen.
Very good morning to everyone. Good morning. Can I just apologise before we start for any kind of rudeness that might appear afterwards. If you're in conversation with me and I don't answer, it isn't because I'm not interested, it's because I can't hear. Over Christmas I lost my hearing. It was quite nice actually, because everything sort of quietened down a bit. Silent night it was, but I'm going tomorrow, hoping that it's going to get sorted out. So I do apologise. And the other thing, if I interrupt somebody's conversation, it's because I didn't know you were talking. So thank you. Anyway, once again, it's over and done with. I mean, Christmas. Decorations have gone away for another year. Christmas tree's gone to recycling. And things are back to normal. Well, I hope not. I hope that you find there still lingers for you a deep sense of wonder, assuring you that in all that happened, God did draw near. And God was with you. And you did experience something quite extraordinary. The dictionary describes wonder as a powerful emotion which is aroused by something awe-inspiring, astounding, marvellous. Well, however you celebrated the birth of Jesus, it is hoped that you experienced such an overwhelming sense of wonder and mystery and joy that will continue with you, inspiring you and encouraging you and guiding you through whatever dark or difficult days you may have to face in this year that has now begun. What I want to speak about this morning is this awesome and astonishing sense of wonder that comes to us as a gift from God, which is intended to be a continuous reminder of his glory, of his love, of his greatness, his mercy, the God who we meet in Jesus. I believe there is nothing could enrich our lives more in 2020 than for us to commit ourselves to a daily prayer that God would continually restore within us this sense of wonder, because it is this and this alone that adds a whole dimension to our lives. We need to pray that prayer, first of all, because however inspiring that sense of wonder may have been to us, in no time at all, we all find we have pushed it to the back of our lives and filled them instead with things that are quite trivial and ordinary, lesser things to which we give priority, and our attention is diverted towards what we regard as being of greater importance. And we need to pray that prayer for a second reason, because we are unable to live our lives without that wonder. But it requires us to remain close to God for that God wonder to be there. It requires us to be in his presence, which, when you think about it, isn't really what most of us want much of the time. We don't mind our lives, we don't mind being filled with the glory of God once in a while. It's okay at the time of the wedding anniversary, it's okay at Christmas, it's okay on special occasions, but as quickly as we can, we retreat into the familiar, back to what we're more comfortable with, preferring a God who is less awesome, a God who is less wondrous, a God who is more manageable, a God who is ordinary. But that's not God at all. This is what the Bible says about God. Psalm 15, he is the one who alone does great wonders. Isaiah 29, he does marvelous works of wonder. Acts 1, he is the God who gives signs and wonders to us. Job chapter 9, he works countless wonders. Everywhere you look in the Bible, you find God being described as a God of wonder. A God who by his every action seeks to fill our lives with that wonder too. If, as the dictionary says, wonder is that emotion which is aroused by something awe-inspiring, something astounding, something marvellous, then you don't have to look far for it. God has filled the whole earth with his glory. It's everywhere you look. It's awe-inspiring, it's astounding, it's marvellous, and it is all designed by a loving God to fill our lives to overflowing with wonder, love and praise. Just the other night I was walking over Scout Scar, and just as the sun set over the hills, the sky burst into flame. It was quite amazing. It was so awesome, it just made me stop and look. It filled me with an overwhelming sense of wonder, and I felt myself spontaneously singing. There was no one around, so I got away with it. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. Everything around us, everything we see, everything we feel, everything we hear, directs us towards a God who is glorious, a God who wants so much to do something glorious in our lives. A God who fills them, if only we are prepared to see it, with wonder upon wonder upon wonder. And Christmas is one such time, one of those events in which his glory is to be clearly seen. Isaiah accurately predicted that the baby that was to be born would be called Wonderful, the God of wonder, the great I Am, the creator of heaven and earth, would be here where we are It's so wonderful that angels sang, "Glory be to God on high." Well, I just hope that you got for Christmas what I got for Christmas. An overwhelming sense of awe and wonder. But I hope you hang on to it and don't lose it all too soon. For life has a way of draining our sense of wonder from us. Disappointments come. Illness befalls us. Tragedies take place. Bereavements. All playing their part in making us cynical and disillusioned and dull. Joyless men and women whose sense of wonder has evaporated and gone. Our sense of wonder buried beneath mounds of bills and deadlines and housework and trips to the supermarket. Julie Robert was the main actor in a film called Eat, Play and Love. And as the film begins, she's heard to say, "I want to go someplace where I can marvel at something." In the film, she travels to Italy and India and Indonesia, searching for that something that would bring her satisfaction, something at which she could marvel. And Jesus said, "It's there waiting to be found wherever you are. It's all around you. All you need to do is open your eyes to the God of wonder who is right there where you are. Reach out to him. Open your whole life to him. Seek first his kingdom. And you'll find your life to be wonderfully fulfilled." One of my favourite sayings of Jesus, and we all have our favourite sayings, but one for me is, "As little children, unless we become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God." And I like that, what Jesus said, because it's a continual reminder to me not to neglect the wonder that is there waiting for me in life. For the lives of little children are full of wonder and awe and amazement and surprise. They see magic in everything, looking at whatever it is with excitement and interest. Looking as we are to look at God and his creation, for unless we do, we will never be able to see the kingdom of God that is right there in front of us. Which is why Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And all these things, satisfaction, peace of mind, contentment, joy, all these things, he said, will be added unto you. They're ours when our lives are filled with that spirit of wonder which comes from God alone. But as I close, something that causes me much sadness that arises from something that I read just recently, which was that the church, that is us of course, has managed to make God boring. Even when he is the source of astonishment and wonder. How awful if that's what we've done. Craig Barnes wrote a book called Sacred Things, in which he said, the thing that is clearly missing in the church today is astonishment. There's not much of that in the church in the West, nor in its people. We have allowed our attention to be diverted from the one God sent, the Jesus of the Bible, the one whose life and message waits to fill us with wonder. To a large extent, modern man has successfully managed to lose all sense of the miraculous and even any awareness of the wonder and the mystery and the beauty of God's creation. A.W. Tozer said, This world, after all our science and sciences, is still a miracle, a wonderful, inscrutable and magical place. But secularism and materialism and the intrusive presence of things have put out the light of our souls and turned us into a generation of zombies. We are ashamed to wonder, and we're afraid to whisper mystery. How sad, how tragic, how serious if we allowed wonder to die, if we no longer sense God's presence or see him in that which he has created, if we really have turned into a generation of zombies. Is it time that we lifted up our eyes to see again this God who is great, this God who is so wonderful, this God the psalmist was speaking about so eloquently, this God who waits to fill our lives with wonder and love and praise? Let's just bow for a moment in silence before the awe and the wonder and the glory that is God's. Forgive us, Father, for looking upon your creation and your majesty and greatness as something ordinary, for taking it for granted, for becoming so used to it that we no longer see the mystery and the majesty in your creation. Have mercy upon us. Bring us to life. Fill us with glory and wonder and praise and worship, that our whole lives reflect your glory, so that others may catch a glimpse of you through what we are and what we do. May your kingdom of love fill our hearts, and the glory of the Lord be our inspiration and our purpose for living. Glorious and gracious God, hear and answer this our prayer. Amen.